Hey, I want to welcome everybody today to our Link Talks podcast. Yes, we're coming to you live today, right here from our Link studio, and we've got some of the best people in the house today, Pastor Paul and Bonnie Bucco, lead pastors of Riverside Church in Three Rivers, Michigan. Welcome today, guys. We're so glad to have you guys.
Oh, it's great to be here, Bobby.
Yeah, so Paul, tell us a little bit about, now you got a pretty unique story because you grew up in ministry. Your dad was a pastor. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the background of Riverside Church, will you?
Yeah. Well, my dad was the pastor of the Baptist church in town and came into the whole charismatic renewal back in the late 60s, early 70s. And so he then got booted out of the Baptist church because of that. And he often says, I left because of illness. He said, they got sick of me. And so he got booted out and then started Riverside Church. And that's when Bonnie and I came on a couple years after the church started. And we've been with him ever since.
Yeah, that's a great journey. And your dad is how old now?
He is going to turn 101 in November.
Oh, my goodness.
So he literally, I mean, he's 100 now. So he is the man of the century.
Still in the church.
Still in the active. Church.
Lives still, in his own home.
He has his own house. And we invited him. We said, Dad, come move in with us. He said, well, I'd get bored there. He said, I kind of like my own place and been here 63 years. And yeah, so neat to still have our founding pastor and dad still kicking. And
speaking of getting bored, I know that he called you up one day and said, hey, I'm bored. Yeah. I need something to do.
Right.
And you gave him a job.
I did. I said, Dad, he said, son, he said, listen, you know, I'm pushing 100. He said, I'm really ready to go to heaven. I want to see Jesus. I want to see your mom. And you know, that we've been married 61 years. I miss her dearly. I said, well, Dad, as long as you still got breath in your lungs, God's got a mission for you. I said, so let's figure that out. I said, you wrote a book on prayer. How about if you do a prayer ministry? Why don't we give you a list of everybody in our church, 70 and older, and you call them? And just say, how can I pray for you?
Yeah.
And pray for them, prophesy over them, whatever you want to do. He said, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I said, all right. So next week, we gave him a list of those people. I don't know, like 75, 80 names. And he said, all right. And so he took that list and he's been calling those people and praying for them. They just love hearing from
every
him.
Month.
Every month. Well, every month. You know, I just thought he was going to do it a one and done.
Yeah.
So he told me, you know, about two, three weeks into it. He said, well, he said, I did it. I said, fantastic. You did the challenge. He said, but I'm going to do it now every month. I'm going to call him every month and pray for him.
So there you go. I love your dad. When I spoke there, he was like right on the front row, cheering everybody along. Yeah. Well, he's just a dynamite.
He is a dynamite. He's only, you know, 5 foot two, 127 pounds, but he is a dynamo.
Now, he handed the church over to you. How old was he when that happened?
Yeah, he was probably in his late 70s, and he was going to be traveling more internationally and speaking, and he's written some books on the Middle East and Assyria. That's his background, Assyrian. And so he said, son, I'm going to turn it over to you and Bonnie. And so we took it on about 1982.
So you guys have been there, what now, almost 20?
Well, this church started in 75, so, you know, we're going on 48 years or so,
And then, Bonnie, you love creativity.
Yeah, that's how God made me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've brought to the church. I know one thing that is highlighted is the Christmas thing that you guys do. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we always look at where the waves are, where people are, you know, holidays or whatever. So we try and be creative so that people can come and hear the gospel in different ways. Mm-hmm. And so this is our fifth year now that we've done River Lights of Wonder.
Yeah.
And we have a river in our backyard of the church, and we said, hey, if we put lights up, it can reflect off the river. It's really
beautiful.
Breathtaking.
The whole river is lit up.
Yeah, and it's a whole drive where they'll hear the gospel.
People come from all over.
Oh, yeah.
All over, yeah. So, just thinking things out of the box.
Yeah.
How we can be, God made us.
And your background is what?
So I've been in, I was raised in Chicago, musical theater and a lot of drama.
Yeah.
And so when he married me and came to Three Rivers. It was like, there, what do you do around here?
You came from this big old metropolitan area.
Oh, gosh. It was,
this town.
It was a culture shock.
I mean, what's the population of Three Rivers?
Oh, it's about 7,000.
7,000.
7,000. Yeah.
Right around there, yeah.
Culture shock.
So we're doing big things in a small town.
Yeah, big things in a small town. Yeah, because that's why we then bought the Three Rivers Public High School.
Yeah, that's a story in and of itself.
Yeah, that's
yes.
Yeah, in 2000.
Yeah.
Because we had outgrown our building, so we were going to add on, but then they were going to tear down the old high school, and we thought, you know, boy, that's a better fishing hole, probably for our mission, kind of downtown area.
Yeah.
And so we said, hey, we'll take it. Yeah. It was a good deal on it. So we did a swap where they then bought our newer building that was right across the street from the new high school that was being built and acreage, and they then gave us their high school for $1.
$1.
And when the superintendent said that, I said, I'm putting 50 cents down to hold it right now. I put half down to hold it. They all laughed. I told the church, hey, this is a better, you know, fishing hole for us to reach the lost. Yeah. A lot of drugs. We had done prayer walks in that area. And so we said, man, this is where the needs are.
Yeah.
So, and I graduated from that high school in 72. I got my old locker back.
Yeah, I know. I saw your locker.
Oh, yeah. I got my old locker back. It's been a hoot.
Yeah.
So we've been there. Like I said, we moved in 2000 and put God back in the public school.
There you go. That's one way to put God back.
That's one way to do it, right?
That's great. Well, you know, in ministry, we have to deal with people. Mm-hmm. And part of our conversation today is how do we sustain our joy in the midst of seasons of difficulty? And I was riding to my grandson's football practice the other day, had my grandson, 8-year-old, in the car, and I said, Lando, do you know where you're going to experience the greatest pain points in your life? I mean, of course, he's 8; he didn't have a clue. not 8; he's 10. No, he's 12. He's my goodness, I got to get this right. That's my grandpa brain clicking
right
now. Oh, but anyway, he's 12 years old.
Yes.
12 years old, and we're having this conversation. And so I said, it's going to be the people that are closest to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the people that are closest to you, your friends, family, people that you entrust with your life. Mm-hmm. And we experience that in ministry, don't we, so many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yet the people that the greatest opportunities that come with to our lives are people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Come through people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
People open doors for us. And so in the people business, we have some really challenges that take place.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I've appreciated in your lives is watch you walk through some of the stress that you've been through the last 4 or 5 years and watch you do it with the joy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. As being your strength. Matter of fact, when I think of that verse, the joy of the Lord is my strength, I think about Paul and Bonnie.
Wow.
That's seriously.
We're honored. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we have to deal with pain.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And so I want to just talk about that for a little bit. Can we just get a little bit raw, a little bit vulnerable here?
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't understand the aspect and the fullness of joy until you've experienced the fullness of pain.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So I'm just going to open up the floor for just a minute to either one of you and just maybe tell us a little scenario that you've walked through and maybe kind of how do you sustain the joy?
Mm-hmm.
How do you walk through the elements of forgiveness? How do you garnish your emotions so that you don't let anger or bitterness, mm-hmm. those kind of things rise up. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've had our share of that. And of course, COVID didn't help. That certainly put a lot of heat and pressure on people. And are you closed? You open? You know, why are you opening? You should stay, you know, closed. So that started things going. And then, it was pretty weird. Bobby, where we had some staff members that chose to, you know, be critical, and they left the church and then took up a negative, you know, scenario, a narrative, and on social media, a lot of slander, a lot of gossip, saying spiritual abuse and gaslighting and all these phrases I hadn't even heard of before, and it's like, wow, and so it really spiraled, and people. We're wondering what's going on. And
yeah. So as all of that's going on,
yeah,
and we won't highlight that.
Yeah.
But as that's going on, I mean, these are people that you've cared for, that yeah. you've shepherded, that you've given opportunity for.
Yeah.
And what's going on in your heart?
Well, our hearts are breaking. You know, Bonnie and I, you know, we're in tears. It was tough. These are people we did life with. And then on Mother's Day, some of them were protesting in front of our building
yeah.
with signs. They contacted the news station. Channel 3 News came and did a terrible a story about us. And so it was just hurt after hurt after hurt. And then people, you know, people in our church, well-meaning people, good people, but they're wondering what's going on.
Yeah.
And so it was hard because we felt like God said, don't defend yourself. Let me defend you.
Yeah.
But there's a lawyer in me. You know, I can be aggressive by nature. I wanted to defend myself. Yeah. I wanted to yeah. say something, but
We you and I had some conversations about
that. We did. I said, Bobby, what?
Sometimes I had to talk you off the ledge.
I
know. Ledge.
I said, I am yeah. this close to saying something. You know, and it's hard, especially when you're speaking on a yeah. weekly basis on yeah. Sunday, not to let a jab slip in or not. Yeah. And you said, Paul, don't do it. Don't yeah. take the bait. Don't say anything. Let God defend you. Let others defend you.
Yeah.
So but it was hard.
So you're watching your husband go through this, but it's also affecting you. I mean,
oh yeah.
Some of it was directed at you. Mm-hmm. And so talk to me about you're carrying kind of almost a triple whammy here because mm-hmm. you're a spouse. You're somebody that is participating in ministry and being involved in life of the church. And then you're an individual.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit.
Where the rubber meets the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're in a situation like that, where you're just self-evaluating mm-hmm. my Christian walk.
Yeah.
Do I believe what I say? Do I trust God? It was such a severe time of darkness yeah. for us.
Yeah.
Praise God, we were one.
Yeah.
We stayed connected.
Yeah, that was a big piece.
Which is hard because
tight
we're different.
Yeah.
He processes it much, mm-hmm. much clearer than I did.
Yeah.
I was more emotional,
yeah.
obviously. And so I needed him, he needed me through that. So thank you, Jesus, that we had someone to walk through together. But what I saw was this was a stripping away of everything.
Yeah.
Just, and it was just my walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
And where am I?
Yeah.
Do I really believe what he says in the word? And it.
You know, to that point right there, there was a season in my life where I was put in a forced transition. It wasn't one that I looked for. I was kind of in a forced transition, and I'm having a conversation with my oversight that is, you know, releasing me from that staff. Mm. And we're having this conversation. He's not excited about it. We're friends to this day. But he's telling me, hey, look, we're not going to take you into this next season with us. And I remember, you know, of course you get that sharp pain in your heart. Mm-hmm. But I made the statement that day. I said, you know, here's where I get to live out my faith. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think in conflict, especially relational conflict,
yeah.
it really comes back to what's in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because how we're going to come out on the other side is really how we process our faith in our hearts. Yeah. Because it's like you said, I mean, the flesh. What do we want to do?
Mm-hmm.
We want to strike back. Right. We want to justify. Right. We want to, you know, rally people around us
mm-hmm.
So that, you know, we can feel like we're valid. Because right. a lot of times in this situation, it makes you process your own heart and think, am I good enough?
Right.
You know,
yeah, yeah. Sure.
Do I really am? Am right. I really called of God?
Yeah, those thoughts.
So,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of that. You know. Just going inward, it's that fine balance of you want to own it and to say, okay, God, what do I need to own?
Yeah.
And we reached out to these gals and protesters. Again, they were our friends. Yeah. And through them, in the negative scenario, they painted, hundreds of people left our church. We were in a building campaign during this time, too, so that was tough. As funds started to dry up a bit with that, and so it was so painful on so many different, you know, levels. But
Paul, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Did you ever want to quit? Did it make you want to quit?
You know, I tend to be more aggressive when the heat's on. I tend to get more aggressive, where it's like, you know, I'm gonna fight. But there were times where I did feel like, you know what, maybe it's better for the church, because I thought, what's not what's best for me and how I'm gonna look. You know, I got a 40 plus career here at Riverside. Is this the way I want it to end?
Yeah.
You know, like this? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no. But yet I thought, you know what, maybe if Bonnie and I got out of the way, it would help Riverside, you know, church. So it was like, God, are you using this pain to launch us into something else? And yeah, so we did, you know, we wondered about that and
prayed about Bonnie?
It. I have to say, though,
an
early time in ministry, in the early years, and, you know, there's always episodes that happen, and there was a time where I said, I don't need this.
I'm done.
And he would say, if we're going to leave, we're going to leave on a good note.
Yeah. Yep.
Which gave me like, okay, we're going to leave. But who wants to leave on a good note?
Yeah, exactly.
When everything's good, it's like, why leave now? So I said, we're going to weather the storm.
Turn it around and get it good. We're not as excited about leaving.
Right, but I said, we're not going to run when there's the storm. I said, we'll get through the storm. And if then God says, okay, it's time to move on, then we will. But it will be on calm waters, not in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah.
But it was hurtful. You know, and the emotionally healthy spirituality book really helped us.
Okay.
As we processed our own emotions, because, you know, we're people, we hurt.
Yep.
You know, too. And so emotionally we were hurt. Mm-hmm. Physically, we had to do a lot of self-care, you know, just make sure we were getting the sleep we needed, the exercise, the food, that our marriage was staying strong, with our staff that remained, making sure they were healthy.
Yep.
And so it was, God was really using this to refine us. The fire was not to destroy us, but to refine us. I met with a counselor. I didn't feel I needed a counselor, but I thought, you know, maybe I do. Everybody else seems to think I do. So I'm going to, you know, meet with a counselor. So I did. I said, help me with this. Am I as bad as they say I am? Yeah. I'm probably actually worse, you know, and so let's talk about it. So I said, I don't want to waste this pain. So I met with a counselor for, you know, a couple months. And so just trying to, you know, navigate this and learn from the pain, and but yet choose our attitude. Because like you said, you know, we can't control what happens to us, but we can control how we respond. So we want to respond honorably. We want to continue to, you know, walk in the strength and the joy of the Lord, you know. And, you know, my dad's such a great example of that, because my dad is legally blind. He can hardly hear. He's got aches and pains. But whenever you ask my dad, Pastor John, how you doing? He'll say, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy. It's like, really? He says, yeah, I'm happy. Yeah. So even though he's in pain, and I know he's in pain, and he can't function like he normally does, he chooses to be happy. And I learned so much from that, that no matter what we're going through, we can choose joy. Yeah. We can choose to be happy.
Yeah.
And even in the pain, I love what the Apostle Paul said, suffering yet rejoicing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in Philippians 4, when
isn't
he said,
isn't that
crazy that you can do both?
It's a dynamic tension that you walk in.
And that he's in Philippians 4:4, he's in a dungeon in chains, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
Yeah.
You don't feel like it, but you don't do things because you feel like it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we don't praise God because we feel good. We praise God because he is good.
Yeah.
So it's realizing it doesn't matter how we feel, even though we were hurting and we were in pain and we didn't feel like preaching on Sunday. We didn't feel like loving people because, you know, we were being hurt.
Yeah.
But yet there were so many people that were with us, and it's navigating that, you know, focus on the people that are with us, not on the ones that are leaving and biting us. But it was hard because you wanted to reach out and go after those that were leaving and try to work it out.
Yeah.
We met with some, you know, for hours and hours, but just could not get things worked out.
So Bonnie, what kept the smile on your face? Because you have never lost your smile through this whole thing.
You know what? I trust I trust in the Lord. And the topic was, how do you keep it in all the seasons?
Yeah.
I love Michigan because you really experience all four seasons.
Yeah.
They are different.
Yeah.
And hate to say this, but I've experienced 70 cycles of seasons in my life.
Yeah.
And spring is wonderful. Love my crocuses when they come up. It's like so green, everything. Then summer, everybody's active and having fun. And then fall, which is coming, will
all's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, but there's a change in our schedules, a change in that way. And then
back to school.
And then the cold winter.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not a cold person.
Yeah.
But because of the contrast of those seasons, we went through a season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we were in the season, my hope was, we aren't going to be stuck here.
Yeah.
Spring is coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's when those hard seasons hit is when our roots grow down deep and they anchor us. And so when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, that's the fruit of our roots.
Yeah.
So when we're going through hard seasons, that's when we get deeper in the Word. We learn to trust Him and our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
We got to control our thoughts, people.
Yeah, and I think that centers back to really the core. The joy of the Lord.
Yes.
Yes, it's His.
Not our joy, because our joy, it gets whacked out with our emotions and our feelings.
Yeah.
But the joy of the Lord, if we can dig down into the root system of who He is, His presence in our life, the surety of His word and His promises.
That's it.
There's a new day coming.
There's a new day coming.
He greets us every day with tender mercies and loving kindness. Amen.
Right. Yeah.
Being grounded in Him. Yeah, it's so good, Bobby. And in His love, I've just fallen more in love with Jesus during this time.
Because
when everything's stripped away, it's like, wow. You know, and because I think as I reflect on it, I had some ministry worship.
Yeah.
It's so easy to, you get caught up in all the excitement and hundreds of people coming in a new a building. And
it's not that you didn't make mistakes. I mean, sure, there's probably, in some of the conversations that were had, there was probably some validity, and you probably learned some things out of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's a part of the process, and nobody's here is perfect.
Right.
You know, we're pursuing the perfect one.
Right.
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 But, in the midst of it, it's the process.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's really the process that's more important, really, than the destination, isn't it?
Right.
It is.
It is. And that's so key, too, because it's celebrating the process, the journey, not the destination. So many people think, well, when I get here,
I'll be happy.
Yeah, or when I get married, or when I get this ministry position, then I'll be happy. It's like, you know what? Celebrate in the journey.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Even though it's filled with ups and downs and mountains and valleys, it's saying, you know what? I'm going to celebrate anyway, because God's, either we believe Romans 8:28 or we don't. All things are working together for our good. Mm-hmm. Even the tough times when everything's all hell's breaking loose.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But when it was all stripped away and it was like, wow, we might lose our church over this. It was like Jesus saying, would you still love me? Am I enough?
Yeah.
Am I enough? And we just fell more deeply in love with Jesus and the fellowship of His sufferings, you know, through that. And again, we just chose, we're not going to get bitter, we're going to get better.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
We're going to keep our joy, because in His presence is fullness of joy.
Yeah.
We're going to spend more time with Him. We're going to stay tight, you know, with each other.
Yep.
We're going to love on Jesus. Yeah. We're going to stay around positive people, and we'll get through this.
Yeah.
And
we have a rose bush that has really just been sickly every year. And He finally took the scissors and He pruned it down to only, I was so mad at Him. I thought, you killed this rose bush, although it wasn't anything to talk about. The next season, it flourished.
Yeah.
And God said to me and to my heart, is pruning is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pruning hurts, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Because I love you.
Yes.
And I only have good things for you.
Yeah.
So it's a trick to be able to embrace the hard.
Yeah.
But I think if we really see it from God's perspective, He says, you know, mm-hmm. be seated with him in heavenly places. If we're in heavenly places, we'll see life in a whole different perspective than when we're in the muck.
Yeah.
And that's all we can see. So, yeah, it's been, you know, I'm not, I haven't arrived, but I do know he's a good God. He's a good father.
Yeah. You know, the scripture says to rejoice in everything. Mm-hmm. In everything, give thanks. Mm-hmm. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, we don't know what you're in today, you know, listening here to this broadcast. We know what we've been through, and we're not illegitimizing the fact that we do have feelings, we do have pain.
Right.
There's the part of us that is human, and we have to walk through it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that's so exciting, the reason we can rejoice in all things, in everything give thanks, not for everything,
mm-hmm.
but in everything give thanks, that's is right. because we know that he's walking with us, that he never leaves us, he never forsakes us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what you're going through today, but we know that the joy of the Lord can be your strength.
Mm-hmm.
God can get you through this season, whether it's be not getting bitter, but getting better,
mm-hmm.
or if it's just pulling yourself up and saying, hey, there is hope. There's Jeremiah 29:11 is still valid in Scripture, that there's a future and a hope that God has for you. So we thank you so much for being with us today here at Link Talks Podcast, and we trust that you have a great day.